Good morning, church. Good morning, visitors. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are thrilled that you're here. We're really excited that you're here if you're with us this morning. And hopefully, thus far, you've been blessed by your visit with us. Hopefully, everyone received one of those little hearts that Brother Ray spoke of. And thank you, Brother Ray, for leading us, allowing us to travel through, journeying through our communion thoughts this morning and remembering the love of Christ. Thank you so much. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12. Let's go ahead and just get settled into Mark chapter 12 this morning, because that's where we're going to be in the great book of Mark chapter 12. If you're alive this morning, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, good deal, good deal. I see some tired faces. Like, just like, oh, you know, like Friday, or excuse me, Saturday. I don't even know what day to say. Saturday night, you know, had a long night. I don't know. So kind of tired. But we want to liven up this morning, because God's got something good this morning for us. So if you're in Mark chapter 12, say, got it. All right. Good deal. Not everybody's got it. not everybody's got it. So for you slower folks, we'll let you get it. That's Mark chapter 12, okay? I'm excited about what's going on here at church. There's all kinds of great things happening, and I could probably talk all morning long about all the good things that are happening in the church, whether it's people serving, whether it's people having each other in each other's homes, whether it's family promise, all kinds of good things. And even in the media, okay, even in the media, Pittman Road, exciting things are happening. Like, Annette deals with Facebook, and man, she does a great job with Facebook, keeping Facebook up. But now, Pittman is on Twitter, okay? And some of you may be going, what is that? And so maybe a younger generation knows what Twitter is. How many of you know what Twitter is, or have a Twitter account and you do follow Twitter? Okay, good. For those of you that don't, you need to. Go on Twitter and follow the church's Twitter account, and we'll be posting some neat stuff in there. Just another way of communicating, another way of keeping in touch with what's going on. I happen to like Twitter better. It's less intrusive than Facebook. Like Facebook, there's just so much, you know. Twitter is just kind of simple. But anyway, the church is now on Twitter, so go on there and follow the church on Twitter. The next slide, not yet, fellas. Let me get a second to kind of talk about the next thing that I want you to show see real briefly with me. At the end of this month, on the 28th of this month, the producers, okay, of the Bible series. How many of you watched the Bible series last year on the History Channel? Okay, some of you did. It was an excellent series. Great job. Really enjoyed it. Our family enjoyed it. Well, they've decided, it did so well that they've decided to produce a full-length movie coming out on the 28th called The Son of God. Okay, and so I want to encourage you to take some time to go and watch that movie, be part of that movie. We've been talking about the kingdom since the beginning of the year, and I don't want you to think, oh man, here we go, another kingdom talk. Well, I want you to get used to us talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is a big deal to God. The kingdom is a powerful thing, and so we've had messages from Glenn and from Dan and myself. We actually kicked off a series a couple weeks ago about your kingdom come and what that looks like. And when we ask God for His rule and for His reign to occur in our life, what does that look like, was the first message. And we looked at Jesus in the garden, and then Dan last week preached on, two kingdoms colliding, when the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God collide. And it just happened to be, you know, Super Bowl Sunday when two teams were colliding on the gridiron too. So we looked at all that. And it brings us to this week. It brings us to this topic that Brother Ray really, really launched us off in this morning, as we talked about the bread, the body of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. But before we launch into that this morning, Matthew 6:33 has kind of been our staple passage this year, right, church? And we've been focusing on that. And so I want us to read that together this morning before we kick off in Mark 12. Matthew 6:33, this is from the NIV translation. Here we go. Let's all read together. But seek first His kingdom, And all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask, we invite you to be with us this morning, Father. We invite your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. And your Son Jesus to be with us this morning. Father, as we open your word and as you speak to us, Lord, may your word fall on hearts that are willing to receive it. Father, we know that your word will bring fruit. Your word is powerful. Your word is great and magnificent. It's tender and gentle. And so we ask this morning that you speak to us, Lord, and allow us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. So you were given a little heart when you walked in. Hopefully everyone received one. If you did not receive one, we'll make sure you get one. After services, see me, and we'll make sure you walk out with one of those little hearts. Because, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and that's not the reason why we gave you the hearts. I'm going to tell you why we gave you the hearts towards the end. But, yeah, Valentine's Day is coming up, right? So, like, guys, you know what that means. Right, fellas? You have to start looking for that Valentine's Day gift. Some of you guys are looking at me kind of dumbfounded. That's not good. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing, okay? Guys, come on. We gotta start looking for some gifts. And I don't know what your wife, what your girlfriend likes. I know, my wife, when she could eat, chocolate, she can't eat, you know, dairy stuff too much now, but when she could eat stuff like that, she loved chocolate, and so chocolate was a big deal, and so I made sure there were chocolates involved in some way, shape, or form. And so, but you know, there's the chocolates, and then there's the balloons, and of course the teddy bears, and the dinner plans, and maybe the movies, and I mean, there's plans that need to be happening right now, right, guys? But you know, but is that really love? Is that what we've embraced? Is that what we've accepted to be love? And I don't know, I just wonder sometimes if we treat love that way. But we know that love is more than just a box of chocolates. Love is more than just taking our loved one to a movie or to a dinner or giving them a balloon with a teddy bear that gets stuffed with the other teddy bears that you've given over the years. Okay, love is more than that. But what is love, right? And so I decided to ask some professionals as to what was love. So go ahead and roll the clip, guys. All right. I'm going to stop it there. But we know, and I'm just being a little funny right now. But we know that's not love. You know, the love that we are so easily accustomed to seeing isn't love. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives us a completely different picture of what love is. It gives us a whole different perspective on what love is. And I really like this the way 1 John 4:7-10 is written in the Message. And so I'm going to read it from that. But if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can. It says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love God, to love, doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed His love," and this is what Brother Ray was talking about. This is how God showed His love for us. "God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him." This is the kind of love we're talking about. "Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son." Sent His Son, right? "As a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God." That's love. That's love. So what is love? Well, love is God. He is love. If I read 1 John correctly, like, God is love. Like, Like, love is not chocolates. Love is not, words. Love is not an invitation to a fine restaurant. Love, really, the starting point is God. And so I want to take us to 1 Corinthians 13. I want us to go there just real briefly before we launch into Mark 12. Save your spots in Mark 12. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. You should be looking at the scriptures right now. I want to encourage everyone to grab your Bible and open up the Word of God, please. Let it go through your eyes and into your brain and into your heart, because if it's not, don't look for it up there. 1 Corinthians 13 is going to be in your Bible, brother and sister and friend, okay? So here we go, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to put in right there like verse 5 or 6. I'm getting older, I can't see. 4. Thank you. Need a bigger Bible. Okay. Note to self. Get a bigger Bible. Okay. I'm going to change it up a little bit, though. So just kind of stay with me. I want to change it up. So just kind of hang tight with me. Because we've discovered from 1 John 4 that what is love? Not the Roxbury Boys. No, no. What is love? God. God is love. So, with that being said, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. Always trusts. He always hopes, and God always perseveres. That's God. That is love. You know, we show our wives love during Valentine's Day, right? Like one day out of the year, right? So what's happening the other 364 days out of the year? Like, we show God, like a lot of us think like, oh, I'm going to show God my love today. I'm going to go to church. And so we treat our relationship with God like it's some kind of Valentine's Day ordeal that happens every week. And so we show God love by coming to church. And yes, I get it. You know, we show love God by coming to church. We're going to go a little deeper this morning. But are we just maybe playing this Valentine's Day thing with God as well? 52 days out of the year, we have our little Valentine's Day with God. But what is going on with the other 312 days out of the year with God? When we're not here. When we're not in there. That's the question this morning. Like what's happening? Because if we want the kingdom to really grow, it's got to be from the inside out. It can't be with external things. It's got to start inside of us. And that's been the whole point of this series is your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come inside of us, because everything about us says your kingdom stay away if we're real with ourselves. But what Jesus is saying is your kingdom come, right? Matthew 6:10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's got to start in us. Oh, I'd love the kingdom to start in Brother Desmond. You know, I'd love the kingdom to start in my next door neighbor. But the kingdom's got to start in us. God's love has to reign in us. He has to begin reigning in our hearts. Because yes, there are two teams. There is a battle going on. The battle's for our heart. Friend. Brother, sister, it's for our heart. So we want the kingdom to grow. It's got to start in us. And so that takes us to Mark chapter 12, where we encounter Jesus. Talking about the kingdom again. Specifically, we're going to go to verse 28, but I'm going to give you a little background on what's going on in Mark chapter 12. Jesus begins by telling this parable to the religious leaders. And this parable is about a man who leaves his vineyard behind with some workers behind to take care of it, to produce fruit. And I'm summarizing it. We don't have time to go through the whole thing. But what happens is he sends some folks back. The owner of this vineyard sends some folks back to see how business is going, to see if fruit has been produced. Bad things begin to happen. Those caretakers, those leaders in that vineyard begin to kill off all the people that the owner begins to send. And so the owner finally says, you know, I'm going to send my son to see what's going on over there. And guess what they do to him? They kill him too. And so towards the end, he says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then they looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. It's towards the end of that parable. And so Jesus is telling this parable to religious leaders of his day, the ones that were entrusted, in charge, responsible for the vineyard, the kingdom. And they were mistreating it. Nothing was being produced. And so they get their feelings hurt. Oh, he's talking about us again. Man. But did you see what Jesus says? He says, You've rejected. Jesus is basically saying to them, look, this was yours, man. This kingdom was for you. And you rejected. You rejected me. And he lays out a foundation for what is going to happen in Mark chapter 12. That is a beautiful thing. Because he begins to talk about this kingdom. And then he's got these conversations. They want to trap him in questions. And they begin to ask him these questions about money and about marriage. Whew. You want to get a heavy discussion going on. Go ahead and ask somebody about money and their marriage. Okay? Fighting gloves, come on. And so they begin to try to trap him with these questions, right, about taxes and should we pay taxes and if I get married, if there's a man that's married and he dies and he marries again and all these questions with their rules and their laws. And Jesus answers, of course, in a beautiful way. And so that leads us to the section where I really want to just kind of allow us to meditate on. Verse 28. So one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him. Okay, so here's a teacher of the law. He's listening to all these debates that are happening, guess where? In the temple. And so he asks, right? He asks, of all the commandments, over 600 commandments, right? Which is the most important, teacher? Like, okay, Jesus, give it to us. You know, what's the answer here? Out of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I love this part right here. Because it's like this teacher of the law, you know, he's just like, wow, that's amazing. Great answer, right? Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself. Check this, church. Is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far. I mean, that was a textbook answer right there. What do you mean you're not far? That's what I started asking myself, right? We'll dig into that. But he says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. No more questions. So there's something that's happening in the heart of a believer when he decides to allow God to reign and rule in his heart. Because like hearts that are ruled by God, reigned by God, are different. Hearts that are ruled and reigned by God really aren't concerned about holy ceremonies and holy rituals and holy traditions. As a matter of fact, hearts that are God-reigned are more important to God than holy ceremonies, traditions, or rituals. Church, friend, right now, God could care less about what you're doing right now in that chair. You know what he's looking at? He could care less about what I'm doing up here. You know what he's looking at? Right here. Right here. And I'll just tell you, sometimes right here is not that pretty of a place. Amen? But he's looking right here. I mean, Isaiah 29:13, I mean, that's what Jesus quotes. He quotes him in Matthew 15 as well. Like he's talking exactly what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah 29:13, Isaiah is saying like God says, I'm sick of your worthless sacrifices. And I'm tired of your rituals, and I'm tired of your burnt offerings. I'm tired of the religious motions. I seek your heart, and I want your heart. Because hearts that are God-reigned love God with everything they've got. That's what Jesus is trying to get at. Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. With everything, not just actions. You've heard it so many times, right? Sometimes from our wives, sometimes from family members, sometimes from friends. Hey, love, you know what? Love is not just words, right? Like show your love. Love God with everything you've got. Not just actions, but with your thoughts, with your emotions, with your soul. With everything you've got. And not just with everything you've got, not just with your all, but in all. Like the tough part is really loving God when God is unlovable. You ever had a moment in life when God was just a little bit unlovable? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Just that time where you just, you know? I think God can handle those moments from us. It's loving God through the difficult circumstances. It's loving God when things are bad, when things are at rock bottom, and you can say, you know what, God, I still love you anyway. Maybe not as much as I did last year, because last year things were well, but I still love you with everything I've got. With my mind, and with my emotions, and with my actions, and my words, and all of who I am, in all circumstances. I think that's what Jesus is getting at. Actually, I think that's what these characters, these Old Testament characters, are trying to communicate to us in Daniel chapter 3. You know those guys, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Daniel chapter 3. Right? Oh, you guys got to bow down and pray to me, says the king. They say, no way, king, we're not going to do it. Well, if you don't, we're going to throw people in the furnace. Got a big pizza oven. We're going to throw you in there. Go ahead. Go ahead, God. Or excuse me, go ahead, king, because we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God and worship Him only. You know what they were saying? You know what they were translating? You know what they were communicating is, you know, God, we're going to love you even if it means getting thrown into the furnace. You know, King, go ahead and do it. You know, even if God doesn't rescue us, these guys say, even if God doesn't rescue us, guess what? We're still going to love God with everything we've got. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, God, even if you don't heal my mother, I'm still going to love you with everything I've got. You know, God, even if you don't get us out of this financial burden, you know what? I'm going to love you with everything I've got. You know, I think what's happened to a lot of us in our Christian walk, we've forgotten what it is to love God with everything we've got. We've forgotten that. And so what happens is that we come through the doors of the church building and we play the religious Valentine's Day with God and we think we've given God our love because we've sat here and we've repeated some songs. Loving God with everything we've got in all circumstances. That's the reign and rule of God in our hearts. Is it tough to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why Paul says, like, keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight. You know, Paul doesn't say, oh, you're a Christian now. Go ahead and grab a seat on the spiritual couch because things are good now. Go ahead and grab the remote and tune into the game. No, you're in the game. You're in the game. I'm looking back there and I forget that that one's out. God fully reigns in our hearts when we love like He does. Because that's the message that Jesus communicates in Mark 12, I believe, as well. Love God with everything you've got, with all you've got, at all times, and then love others as you love yourself, right? So hearts that are God-reigned love others. You know why? Because it's a natural outgrowth of loving God. When you begin to love God, guess what? You begin to love others more. I hope you've seen the picture this morning that I'm trying to paint here. That God's kingdom is not an external kingdom. God's kingdom is an internal kingdom. The Jews constantly looked, right, for an external reign, an external kingdom to be shown to them. And Jesus the whole time kept saying, no, 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 don't keep looking. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is something interior. It's something spiritual. It's not fleshly. It's not material. It begins in here. That was the message of Christ. As a matter of fact, God's kingdom is an inside-out kind of kingdom. I'm about to wrap this up. I know some of you are going, man. But here we go. I told you there was a common thread in Mark 12. Here it is. Mark 12, he continues, right? This is a perfect example of what Jesus is trying to communicate to the religious leaders about the kingdom not being an outside-focused kingdom. Listen to what he says. Verse 38, I think. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes outside," right? Outside. "And greeted in marketplaces, outside kingdom," right? "And have the most important seats in the synagogue, outside kingdom," right? "And in the places of honor at the banquets," right? Outside kingdom. "They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." You know what Jesus is saying there? It's not an outside kingdom. It has nothing to do with the things you're doing outside and religious pageantries and holy ceremonies. Let me tell you what the kingdom is about again. And he nails the point home. Check this out. Verse 41. "Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched a crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had. It wasn't about the money she was putting in. This little widow gave everything she had. It started inside and it translated to the outside. How? From her heart to two little copper coins. That's all she had. It's an inside-out kingdom, I'm telling you. God's kingdom grows and flows when our hearts are all in. It's not about money. Hopefully you're not going in your mind, where's Carlos going with this? Is this a money sermon? It has nothing to do with money. As a matter of fact, you know what Jesus says about money before he talks about the widow? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And you know what? It has nothing to do with ownership. It's not like, oh, well, this belongs to God, which it does. It has nothing to do with ownership. It has everything to do with desire. Give to Caesar what Caesar desires. Give to God what God desires. And so he finishes with the story of this widow. To nail a point home, love God with all you've got. And love other people, even though it's difficult, even though it's hard. Jesus talked about it on the Sermon on the Mount, right? Love your enemies. You heard that it was said long ago. Hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Right? It's an inside-out kingdom. You're not far. Jesus says to this religious teacher, you're not far. You know why he tells him that he's not far and that he's, you know, not in it? He could have said, man, you're in the kingdom. You got it. Right answer. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody give this man $1 million. You know why he tells him that? Because up until that point, all that was just words. It was the right answer. Do you think God is concerned about you giving him a right answer? No. It's about a right heart. It's about a heart that's all in. You were given these little hearts. Carry them around this week. Take them with you to school. Put them in your pocket. Put them right next to your cell phone. I bet you'll see them all the time. I promise you. Glue them to your cell phone. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Carry these around. Be reminded, God's heart was all in for me. Can I be in, all in for God this week? And the next, and the next, and the next. And then eventually I want you to do something with this heart. I want you to give it to somebody else. Not a member of this church. Maybe a neighbor, a co-worker, a classmate. And tell them how God gave all of His heart for you. How His heart was all in for you by sending His Son Jesus. Tell them about this little heart. Tell them what it's meant for you. Tell them what Scripture is attached to it. I don't know. Let God's Spirit lead you in what to say. Because we're dealing with an inside-out kingdom. I don't want to be far from God. I want to be close to God. I want my family to be close to God. I want my friends, I want our church to be close to God. Why? Because He's everything I need. It was more of a reminder to me this past Thursday while I sat at the hospital with my son. I realized that God is everything that I need in my life. And that without Him, I'm nothing.
I want to be far. If you're visiting with us today, we don't want you to be far from God. If you don't have a relationship with God, we don't want you to be far from God. More importantly, He doesn't want you to be far from Him. But I need to give Him my heart 100%. For Him to rule and to reign in my heart. So that the inside-out kingdom can begin to grow and flow in my life. I ran across a song a couple years ago. I think it's written by either 10th Avenue North or Hillsong United. It's called From the Inside Out. How many of you know that song? Okay, just a few of you. We're going to listen to that song. If you know the words, sing along, and we're going to have the words up there. But just listen to the words of this song.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul. Cries out, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul. Cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul. Cries out, Lord.
Is He reigning in your heart? If He's not, He can this morning. He can. Desmond's going to lead us in a song. Friend, visitor, brother, sister, you have an opportunity this morning. You can, if you have something heavy on your heart that you just want one of our shepherds to pray about, one of the ministers to pray about, you can do that this morning. And not just here. Please don't get me wrong. It can happen in your life groups. It can happen at home with your families. It can happen anywhere. But this is a special time. And if you don't know the Lord and you haven't given your heart to Him and you haven't given your life to Jesus and you haven't been united with Him in the beauty of the gospel and the death and the burial and the resurrection of His life, you can do that this morning. You can be baptized. You can embrace His grace through your faith and be forgiven of your sins. Church, we love you. I know from the bottom of the hearts of our shepherds, they love you. They pray for you constantly. They don't want you to be far from God. If you have a need, come forward as we sing.